This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's get into the burning platform with Justice. We can pick up on this and other things with Justice Malala, and we can take your calls and all the rest in just a moment. It's 8 minutes after 7 o'clock, and the burning platform is brought to you every week by Nando's. And Justice is as hot as the very hot option on the Nando's menu when it comes to stirring up all the issues of the day and helping us to figure out what the hell is going on where. Morning, Justice. Let me just get your microphone working, and then we can get cracking. There's so much to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the SABC. Isn't that like... I mean, no. I don't know. I'd really like to get from our listeners who have aspirations towards stand-up comedy whether you could actually make it up. You can't make that stuff up.
It's almost like that slapstick stuff that they do in a Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. It's that bad. It's really scraping. No, you don't do that, and they go and do it. And no, you can't do that, and they go and do it.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, the first thing is to say, when sometimes we sit here and we talk about stuff, I think it's been a year and a half now we've been chatting about the SABC and its problems on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it sounds like, oh, you know, we're making it up. We're just banging on and stuff. People have been in this tunnel. They've seen the light getting bigger and bigger, and it's coming and racing towards them, and they haven't done anything about it. And now the train is just smashing, and no one does anything about it. You know, Hlaudi Motsoeneng, it's not a joke. He got an 11 million rand bonus. All this stuff, ordinary people in Tzaneen, in Lusikisiki, are watching rubbish content. Because the SABC has been allowed to be what it is over the past 2 years, over the past 5 years, and we've done nothing about it. So, you know, first of all, you know, people like Hope Zinde said 2 years ago that, you know, some people are protected. The minister went and said to her, but we can't get rid of Hlaudi. Baba loves him. Well, here we are, 2 years after that revelation. And the guy is sitting there and he's still causing problems at the SABC. It's because you see a problem, and in this country in particular, we see a problem and we sit around and don't do anything about it. We see a problem, we don't sit around doing it. It's not a problem of what's happening at the SABC, really. It's governance. It's you have been put in power to run this thing, and you don't. So Parliament, you know, yesterday they were all activists and we've got to do something and so forth. They haven't, that portfolio committee on communications has done nothing about the SABC for years and years and years. Well, you know, because it was fine, it was running ANC propaganda. Well, you know, all that is coming back to bite it now. So at the end of the day, for me, the big problem with the SABC and the presentation yesterday, or was it non-presentation or half a presentation?
it was lousy.
It was lousy, as
Floyd would say.
Lousy presentation. After that lousy presentation, the big issue for me is who is running this thing. And quite frankly, we've allowed the SABC. No one is in charge, and the ANC is not running that thing. It's a mess. It's a mess. But what's really going on there is that at the end of the day, we know a few things. We know that Hlaudi Motsoeneng and a few other people believe that they report straight to Faith Mutambi and Professor Maguve. Professor Maguve and Faith Mutambi believe that they report straight to President Zuma, not to the ANC, not to Cabinet. So Cabinet has said, fix this thing. The ANC has said, fix this thing. And they believe, no, we are protected by someone somewhere. Certainly, on Thursday last week, Cabinet came out and said to Faith Mutambi, fix the SABC. Go now and do something about it. The SABC, Faith Mutambi has not said a word about what she has done. Instead, she's running around making sure that Hlaudi Motsoeneng and Professor Maguve stay on in their place. Why is that happening? It's because, let's be straight about this. There are people in our government who report straight to President Zuma, and there are people who are in cabinet and who in this, do things collegially. But quite frankly, there are people at the SABC, Claudy Motsoeneng in particular, Faith Mutambi in particular, they believe they are untouchable, they won't be fired because Baba loves them so much. And we need to know, when that will end, because that has divided, the ANC has divided, that portfolio committee has divided the nation. There are people who are untouchable, and Claudy Motsoeneng is one of them. How can it be that for, it's been 5 years now of the Claudy Motsoeneng saga, and it just keeps on going. He has the audacity to say, I'd like to thank all these people, to applaud them, because they love this wonderful Claudy. Well, you know.
Do you want to hear Krish Naidu's resignation? This is it kind of took everybody surprised, like by surprise, like the presentation took him by surprise.
Priceless.
Yeah, all right, here we are.
And I just want to end by saying, Chairs, that, I mean, I've heard all the explanations, and I'm not satisfied as a board member. When I look at this presentation, it was amateurish, in my view. So I think my own position is this, and I want to take my cue from Honorable Shabambu when he said earlier in his input, what are we doing here? You know, some of us have come through some serious struggles to bring this country to the point where we'd like to give a better life for everyone. And here we are sitting discussing and spending valuable time discussing mundane issues, you know. I've come to the conclusion that this board is dysfunctional. It should be scrapped. And personally, I will be resigning today as a board member. Thank you.
Sure. So that was one resignation. Do you want to hear the others? Because there were two. And those were the only two that happened in there, but they're all, obviously the whole board is now dissolved.
Well,
so
it's gone. And
you
know,
these people are out of a job, right?
Not a minute too soon, quite frankly. You know, this is the way most of these boards work. You become a board member, then you become a member of the audit committee of the board or whatever other committee, a transformation committee here or whatever other committee. And basically you earn your keep by attending as many meetings as possible because you get paid per meeting.
All right.
It might be 5,000 rand a meeting or 30,000 rand a meeting, depending on the remuneration package at whatever entity it is. So, you know, people like Professor Maguve and others have been on that board since the days of Ellen Shabalala, the one who's well qualified. You'll remember her.
And she was also an ex-girlfriend of the president. Allegedly.
I do not deal with allegations. Put the facts on the table, Mr. Clem. Anyway, so the key thing here is a lot of people will not be getting those board fees, whether it's 30,000 rand a month or it's 90,000 rand a month or 200,000 rand a month. But you know what? It's not a minute too soon. That board should have been kicked out a long time ago. We need a proper board for the SABC. Otherwise, you know, we're going to continue with this rubbish. And quite frankly, it must stop.
Has the institution already been so damaged that it's irretrievable?
Oh, you know, there are still, you know, there are so many good people who've been kicked out of the SABC from then. Nine who we've been reading about lately to before that. How many people have left the SABC over the past 2 years?
But their products are not good anymore. This is the problem. Is the ordinary people in this country only watch SABC or listen to SABC because they don't have an option.
They don't do it
because they want it. If you were in a supermarket and those products were on the shelf next to all the other available products on the internet, you wouldn't touch them.
Exactly. So, I mean, we've got a problem here. Can it be fixed? It's going to take decades to fix the SABC, in my view. And we're not helped by politicians who are not doing anything, who are not doing their job in Parliament, who should have got rid of that board a long time ago and haven't done it.
And there are other places where there are direct links to the president. In other words, there are other people in important parastatals, there are other people in important cabinet positions and other bureaucratic roles who think they also have a direct channel to the president.
No, that's, I mean, this is where, at the end of the day, I think the ANC needs to think deep and hard about its future. Because if there is a perception in the party itself that there are two centers of power. There's the one that's powerful and it's a back channel, and the one where you go through party structures and you debate and you win or lose your case. You've got a big problem, and that problem is that people start using the back channel because it gets things done, even the things that are dodgy, and you get an ANC that's divided, and so you've got to make up your mind: are you an open party, or are you one that uses the back channel, my connections with so and so and the president to get this and that done? That's a mafia, that's a gang.
Justice, the Fees Must Fall movement.
Fees Must Fall. I think there are two things here. There's the debate about whether we can afford to fund free education. And then there's what's happening on campuses.
Well, let's start with this idea that there might be a possibility of free education, which has got everybody all idealistic and doe-eyed and hoping that solutions will fall from heaven.
Let's be fair. There are four people in this studio right now. One of the reasons we are here is because we have some education. We were lucky enough to get it. The statistics show, the research shows that if you have a university degree, you are most likely to earn higher than someone who doesn't have a degree. For the rest of your life, you are one step ahead. That's a private benefit. It means you, Gareth Cliff, are earning because it comes to you. It doesn't come to the rest of us. Mm. It comes to you. Then there's your talents and all that and all that. Then there's a public benefit that, oh, he's contributing to society and so forth and so forth. So we need to be careful here that we do not fund people get a private benefit but do not expect to pay for it. They get it for free.
Mm.
My view is that the conversation we're not having is about access. We cannot stop Mabale from getting into university. It cannot be that because Mabale comes from Dzanin and comes from a poor family, when she gets her matric and she qualifies, then she can't get into university. Mabale must be able to get into university and have a life that is as full as Justice Malala, who comes from Morningside with rich parents. That is the key. That's the key issue here. No child of ability must be excluded. And so my view is that, you know, in the noise that we're going through, actually Bladen Zimande had something interesting in his package. And that interesting thing was that he's saying the rich have to pay and the rich must pay. We all agree. The missing middle, those people who are nominally middle class but actually struggle every day, well, not all of them should pay, but none of them should get an increase now. Then the poor must be, NSFAS must work so that they get access. And when they start working and reach a certain minimum of earnings, then they can start paying back. I think that is something that go towards saying no one child of ability to get into university or a TVET college is left behind.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that when we all can get in if we want to get
into
the
system? I don't know anybody who would have a problem with that.
Now, the problem is that we seem to think free is free, but free has someone has to pay. Government has to pay. We all have to pay. The problem with free is that now the kid from Morningside Justice and the kid from Dzanin are getting a public and a private benefit at all our expenses.
Mm.
Why should Justice from Morningside not pay? There's a problem here. And I think that's the conversation that's not being had. That said, I think the issue of access is the one that we need to be talking more about, not the issue of just free. I think access, making sure that NSFAS works and so forth, I think we've almost become enslaved to the idea of free and we're not having the real conversation, which is no kid left behind and mustn't be left behind because they can't have pocket money when they're there, and so forth and so forth. But a comprehensive not left behind. So that's the first. That's the first thing. I hope the debate will go. We're not having the debate enough.
No,
it's
also been hijacked by discussions around violence.
Exactly.
Discussions around intimidation, the destruction of property, the collapse of higher education. Because what use is a degree going to be to someone if these degrees are considered worthless everywhere and anywhere?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. That all that stuff. This week, on Monday, the president arrives at the feast in Bizo, called by Bladen Zimande, reads a speech and leaves.
Mm.
Doesn't provide any kind of leadership, doesn't say...
It's Blade's problem.
It's Blade's problem. Blade has also made the same fundamental mistake. He said, it's not my problem, it's the vice-chancellor's problem. So you have Adam Habib sitting at Wits, essentially being... under attack. I had to laugh this morning. Mqebo Dlamini, the man who said he's a big admirer of Adolf Hitler, mm-hmm. right? He says that we've agreed to a general assembly at Wits. By the way, I can tell you now, that general assembly will see those students walking out. They're already saying, Mqebo Dlamini says Adam Habib can't chair that thing because he's a criminal. Well, I mean, so a guy who admires Adolf Hitler is now telling us Adam Habib, okay?
Yeah.
One of the most admired, fantastic, incredible academics in this country is a criminal. And Mqebo Dlamini is telling me this. I mean, it's a joke. But anyway, the key thing here is that when there is no leadership, people will step in and take leadership. And for me, it was interesting that Professor Pitika Ntuli, Tiego Moseneke, Dalim Pofu stepped in at Wits because the leaders were not there. The ANC had stepped
in. Can I just ask you just to go back for a second to Mqebo Dlamini? This guy, he's 27 years old.
Yes.
He should be out of university already. He's a former SRC president who just can't seem to move on to the next step in his own life. I don't think that people who are politically ambitious are necessarily a problem at university. In fact, that's where many of our leaders of the future might come from, we would hope. But this guy seems to be addicted to the attention. He seems to be addicted to the kind of troublemaking that he can cause on campus. And I do believe that people like this should be told, you are no longer welcome at university. You've been here long enough. If you haven't got your degrees yet and you haven't made a contribution yet, it's over. Get out. The best thing he could do for a poor student is clear the way so there's one more space in university for them. Why is he still there?
I actually haven't followed his sort of academic trajectory enough. There was something people saying he's not a student actually, but I'm not sure about that, so I'm not about to make the allegation. But you know, I think
he claimed once to be Walter Sisulu's lost grandson. He admitted he was lying later when the Sisulus were contacted pertaining to his claims, and they denied knowing him. In a recent two-part explosive interview, Dlamini set the record straight as to why he was removed as president. He said the decision to remove him from his post, that's president of the SRC, was because he was involved in a physical altercation with a fellow student at the dining hall in the university. This is also the interview where he referred to the Wits VC, the vice chancellor, and the Jewish community at large as devils, and uncircumcised at heart.
That's the man who says Adam Habib, or Habib Adam, as he calls him, who says Habib Adam is a criminal. I mean, how am I supposed to take this stuff seriously when this is the person who leads this supposed movement? And, you know, it goes back to my contention. My contention is that at the end of the day, the majority of vet students want to go back to class. The majority of vet students wants to see an equitable access to the university and to other universities in South Africa. The vast majority don't want to see the violence that we see on campus. No matter what we say, there is an element, and it's led by people like Mqebo Dlamini, which is dangerous for South Africa, for that institution. He's not a leader, and there are many, many people who are not activists for free education. And I want to tell you, I agree absolutely, wholeheartedly with Adam Habib. There are people who want to stoke the fire and see a Marikana adverts. Mm-hmm. That's what they want, and they will do whatever they can to get it. And that when there's no blood, there's no attention for them. And I think Mthabo Dlamini is one of those people.
Right.
Other issues?
Yeah. Well, there's so many to choose from. How about AJ Gupta?
Ajay Gupta went to see the public protector on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He was grilled for hours. He arrived with his lawyer and two bodyguards. I would love to get a transcript of that conversation. Essentially, the public protector is looking into all these allegations that, you know, President Zuma essentially gets told who to appoint, and he appoints those people. Or rather, sometimes Ajay and Atul and other members of the Gupta family actually go straight to Mabale and say, "Hey, Mabale, you know, do you want to be Minister of Public Enterprises?" And she says, "Where's the president to do this?" They say, "No, he's in the next room." And he shows his face, and then he disappears. And they say, "You want it or you don't want it?" And she says, "No." And they put her on a plane back to Cape Town or wherever. And it's all happy, happy. So that's at the heart of it. That's the investigation she's into. The interesting part is that Bongani Ngulunga, the presidency spokesperson, has confirmed that today, mm-hmm, President Zuma will be meeting the public protector.
That's quite a biggie.
And now, if you have some technology, some way, Mabale, we need your help here. If we can get a transcript of that conversation, oh my
Electric.
Word!
I'm not that highly connected. I don't know what you. I don't know what you think I do here.
Well, you know, I mean, find a way. I have to say that would be a conversation and a half. But you know, I'm looking forward to this public protector. Remember, we are now into her last month, and I hope and wish she finishes this thing and releases it on her last day, and let's see how it goes. But it will be interesting. But there's a murky world out there. That's a world of accusations and so forth. So Fana Hlongwane, who was accused of taking bribes in the arms deal, has written a letter to her saying, "Oh, I was there at that meeting. It was me. It was the Mqebisi Jonas, the deputy finance minister, and the president's son, Duduzane. And Ajay Gupta walked in and walked out. No offer was made of a cabinet post. Now, when Mr. Hlongwane was asked by the public protector to come in and let's have a chat, because, you know, I want to ask a few questions, he hasn't said yes. He just wrote his letter, which is very thin on specifics. What was the private venue where he took the deputy minister to? Why was the minister allegedly saying that he was being blackmailed by Fana Hlongwane? All these questions need to be answered in a meeting with the public protector. But, you know, he's not giving those answers. So I think there's lots going on there, but it will be interesting to see that state capture report come out.
Does it feel like we're heading more in a positive or a negative direction at the moment with all of the state capture talk? Because we've also had the launch last night. I went to the launch of this new book, Rogue, which is about the SARS Rogue Spy Unit, which has or has not caused the president such sleepless nights, and was or was not constituted for nefarious political purposes. Either way, the authors, Adrian Lacay and Johan van Lochrenberg, were there. Ferial Hafiji asked them a couple of questions. They talked about a mafia state. Mm. It was an interesting discussion. Do you think we're moving in the right direction in terms of state capture being turned around?
I think that, you know, my big thought, my big idea is this. South Africa is a country in transition. I don't know if this transition is bigger than the 1994 transition, but it certainly is a transition. Excuse me. And that, for me, the big transition we're going through is this. The ANC is dying. The ANC is in It's
death throes.
It's in its death throes. And what happens in that case is that there is a faction that wants to essentially loot as much as it can before the big implosion. And there's a faction that says, we can fix this, we can do this. Those factions are at war right now. And I feel actually quite sanguine about it. I think South Africa will survive the ANC. I think the ANC, everything we've spoken about today is about, it's about two factions in the ANC. I'm talking about the SABC. It's about one faction saying, you know what, we are eating at the SABC, it's all good, let's keep on looting. The other saying, no, you don't. And that battle is enjoined. The same thing at the fees level. There are some people that are saying, let's find a solution here. Other people saying, I don't care, I'm too busy giving contracts at Eskom or whatever. Same thing.
By the way, I see you mentioned Eskom. I think it's worth mentioning also that the government has put the brakes on the nuclear program, which is a good sign.
It's kind of put the brakes on it, but you know, we don't really know. I think that there's still a chance that Russia is going to supply nuclear to South Africa. I really do think that's and part of that story is about state capture as well. So my view is that when I look at the macro picture, the bigger picture, I'm feeling that we are in transition. We're going to be a multi-party democracy, not a one-party dominant democracy. And I don't think that's bad.
Just one last thing before you go. The president also had an appointment this week in Singapore with a drug dealer, and then to Vietnam, where we apparently have six students. Let's just talk about that for a second. Singapore first.
Yes. No, it was the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa.
Cyril,
so
that's right.
The country's burning up, okay? And where is our deputy president, who is the leader of government business, by the way? He's the one who's supposed to be in parliament saying, let's fix this thing. Let's talk to people.
Yeah.
He's not here. So, you know, I mean, I have to say, people who say Cyril Ramaphosa should be the leader of South Africa, again and again, I keep on wondering, well, does he want to be president of South Africa?
What a low bar these people have.
You know, I mean, I don't think he's interested anymore. So he's in Singapore. Have you seen a single statement? Let's play back a bit. On Sunday, you get up in the morning, your dog is barking, boo, the dog has eaten the paper. You try to read the paper and you see on the front page of the Sunday Times, bam, we have a high commissioner in Singapore who was convicted for drug trafficking, served time in the US between 1999 and 2000, okay? Before that, she had been on trial for drug trafficking in 1995 or around that time. So not once, twice, okay? And then in 2013, someone sent her as our ambassador to Singapore. Do you know what Singapore is like? Singapore is like...
It's the anti-drug capital of the
world. It's the anti-drug capital of the world, okay? No one says a word. No one says a word. No one... Nothing. Has she been suspended? Has she been recalled? Have I missed a statement from... what's that guy, Nelson Quetta, from International Relations?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a thing. Another thing, it's quiet. It's no. This is a convicted drug dealer. So I haven't heard anything from David Mahlobo about why James Bond, his many James Bonds, did not pick up that a convicted criminal is about to become ambassador of South Africa to Singapore. That's the first thing. Okay. No. How did? There's something called a security vetting. You have to be like absolutely super clean to become an ambassador.
Right.
But no, our spies missed it completely. So this week, can you imagine what it's like standing there? The deputy president comes in, flies and stops. And who receives the deputy president at the airport?
Who?
It's our ambassador.
Our drug dealer.
Our convicted drug dealer. Do you want the line with Deputy President?
I mean,
what are we doing here? The irony is this, okay? You know Spoon Debele, who used to be the transport minister? He's accused of taking a bribe. Sibu Ndebele this week resigned on the same day that the president arrived in the deputy president arrived in Singapore.
Yeah,
he resigned because he's accused of taking a bribe, and the evidence is pretty compelling. The bribe or the money was deposited into his Capitec account.
Mm-hmm.
10 million rand Jesus. Into my Capitec account.
Nice.
I mean, really. Anyway, so he falls on his sword, okay? He hasn't been convicted yet. But mm-hmm. it's okay. If you're convicted, we like you. You are the ambassador to Singapore. You know, whatever. It's examples like this that say it's okay. Anyway, the big question I wanted to ask is, has anyone... There's a line in that Sunday Times story that says... It is suspected that something along the lines, it is suspected that the thing was passed through because she was politically connected.
Now, who?
Who?
Who's so powerful that they can get a convicted drug dealer to be an ambassador Ooh. In Singapore? I mean, you must really have contempt for Singapore, first of all.
I know.
And second of all, you must be very powerful.
No.
Who could it be?
Who could it be? No one is asking who said... Ignore that and let's just go for it. So on that note, I want to say that's what it is, man. That's what it is.
All right, we'll try to have a good week. We'll try our very best. Thank
yeah,
you, Justin.
I mean, stay away from the white stuff, I would say, to yeah. every listener we have.
Let's try not to have any more drug dealers appointed to ambassadorial positions.
Oh,
ambassadors are meant to be the best of us, right?
I know.
Ambassadors are meant to be the ones who put their best foot forward and make the rest of the world go, wow, it must be good to be South African.
I know. These are the people who carry our message through. Let me just say for the record, I know I hit on David Mahlobo for not his spies not getting it, but he should act now. But the person who was the Minister of State Security when this happened was Mr. Qwale, who's the...
Siyabonga Qwale, whose wife was a drug dealer he didn't know.
Convicted drug dealer. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the theme
This
is
guy
just,
has no idea when people are on drugs. He's yeah. like me. I used to walk into clubs and I'd look around and I'd say, wow, these people
yes,
are so happy.
I
would have no idea. So Siyabonga Qwale and I have a lot in common.
YouTube must make data. Data must fall.
Yeah, that's, okay. that's one thing we'll do together. The two of us, at least you know we're so naive about drugs that we can't possibly be
You
high.
Know what? You know what? I think you're going to win and the data must fall. It's all good.
So. All right. Thank you, Justice.
Absolute pleasure.
Very good. Justice Malala, The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's every Thursday at this time between 7 and 8. Very good.
This is CliffCentral.com.